Dr. Brass Stocks, good morning. Good afternoon,
good afternoon,
sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Okay. There are two issues I would like to discuss. Now, Hamilton Lashley won for both parties. Did his personal vote, was his personal vote the same on those two occasions?
Sorry?
Hamilton Lashley. He won as a DLP and he won as a BLP. Could you say whether his personal vote was the same on those two occasions?
I had actually done an analysis of it some years ago, in which I looked at the national swing versus his own personal swing. I mean, it's an article that I could pull up. But I remember my conclusions at the time were that the interesting thing about Hamilton Lashley is that Hamilton won a DLP seat when the DLP was on the way out. Right? He then took it to the Barbados Labour Party on a BLP swing, and he held it for the Barbados Labour Party. He then took it to the Democratic Labour Party on a DLP swing. Excuse me. So the point is that at no point in time did Hamilton Lashley go against the national swing in terms of defending his seat, and both changes that he made were consistent with the national swing. He added to it in both instances, but let's be clear that it wasn't as though he was able to take personal support only. He was obviously going on the basis of a national swing, which makes it difficult or complicated to analyze the phenomenon that you're talking about.
All right. The next thing I would like to look at is same-sex unions. Now, you have said that if two men are involved in a union or marriage, that both of them are referred to as husbands. Not so?
That would be the case, yes.
Right. Now, Dennis has said that Elton John and his partner, which is a man, are parenting
Furnace.
Two boys or two sons or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you tell me how children who are being parented by same-sex persons refer to these two persons?
Well, the question I would ask you is, like, was it to you?
Hello?
What is it to you? What does it mean to you?
Well, I would, if you say that two men are two husbands, and they
I know, I understand what you're saying, but
children.
What, but sir, what I'm trying to understand is, stop a minute. If you're going to have a conversation, let me see if you can follow me and let me try and follow you.
Okay,
you're saying what happens in that situation. I can give you an answer, but I'm saying even before I give you an answer, how does it change your life if you know how Elton John's children are being raised and how they refer to their two fathers? How does it change your life? Does it make you go to sleep better, wake up better? Does it make you any better off? Does it affect the ability of your own children to grow and flourish, to get an education? Does it change anything for you personally?
Well,
yes
I'm
or no?
I'm saying that it does something to children.
Does it do something to your children? Does it do something
to
your children?
But to those children that are being parented by the same
sir,
people.
Sir, I'd say this to you. Sir Elton and David Furness have two kids. I believe it's two boys. They refer to their fathers as dad and daddy. They're able to work out which is which.
To both persons as dad and daddy.
I didn't stutter. I just said they refer to their fathers as dad and daddy. That is how they distinguish between the two. And I would go on to say that I've seen the children. I've seen them interacting in public domains and whatnot. They don't seem to be unhappy. I also know of situations where you have a stepfather that comes into a picture in a house, and they have to refer to the stepfather, and they may not want to refer to the stepfather by the name, and they call the stepfather dad. And they call the real father daddy. My point is that I don't really know why it affects you personally or whether you feel it affects your children, because the average child in Barbados has those kinds of complicated situations to contend with. When a person who is the father of a single mother has a boyfriend, and that boyfriend is not the father of their child, they have to contemplate a nomenclature that relates respectfully to both, and they may do the same thing. And I'm not understanding why this is of such grave concern to you. You care to tell me?
How would a child, okay, explain to another child that he has two fathers?
I mean, how would a child explain? Because that's the way it is. You see, sir, the problem that you're having is that you are not living in an environment where it happens. And I'm saying to you that, well, you are living in an environment where it happens. You just may not realize it is happening. I went to school, to primary school, right, in an environment where I was the only person in my classroom who had a mother and a father that lived together and were married in the same house. All of my other colleagues, bar none, all of my other friends in the class had mothers and fathers. Invariably, the fathers were not absent. Some of them lived with mothers, some of them lived with aunties, and so on and so forth. The point I'm making to you, sir, is that I have never questioned why my arrangement was different to theirs. What I did know is that I had a family, and they had a family. And I was happy that my family was what it was, and they were happy that their family was what it was. And I'm saying to you, sir, that what we're talking about here is diversity. And I think that what you need to do is to celebrate the fact that children have parents. Don't concern yourself with the gender of the parents. Don't concern yourself with whether they live with two aunties, whether they live with two fathers, whether they live with two mothers. It happens. Just celebrate the fact that they have parents, full stop. Or alternatively, celebrate the fact that they have a parent. Because you can't determine what someone's family is. And the reality is that in Barbados over time, this is a lesson that we have taught because our families are not nuclear. Generally speaking, they're not. Am I making sense?
But has any study been done on the psychological effect, same sex?
Well, person, I could ask, have any studies been done on the psychological effect of single-parent households in Barbados and Trinidad and Jamaica? Has any study been done on the fatherlessness of children and the impact that it has on children's development over time? Has any study been done on the criminals who are detained at Her Majesty's pleasure and the extent to which the vast majority of them don't have a father figure? Has any study been done on that, sir?
I don't know.
But I can tell you, sir, the vast majority of children that are born into gay families and lesbian families, to the best of my knowledge, are extremely well adjusted and they have very progressive parents. I don't know a lot of them, but the few of them that I know, they have a relatively safe development in life. At the same time, however, I'm saying to you that the evidence that is before us suggests that the fatherlessness of so many families in Barbados is an acute problem. This is to me the kind of thing that I believe we as a society need to concern ourselves with what is important to us. But don't worry about the other things. Because you're saying, well, what would a child live if they have two fathers? Sir, if they have two fathers, they have two fathers. You know? I don't know, Sam. Is this making sense to you or it don't really matter?
It's not really me. I am concerned that these children suffer some psychological damage.
Well, I can assure you, sir, that children honestly don't take it on. Right? They don't take it on. Sir, I am in a family right now. I have nieces on both sides and nephew on both sides. And basically, they understand that they have two uncles. And it's not an issue. Because the reality is that the society that we live in now is one in which gay people happen. So when it happens, you just basically relate to it. And it's not something that perplexes children. While I do believe that in the context of Barbadian society, the absent role of fathers, who in many instances have two families from two different women that they're sleeping with at different points in time, and the father then taking care of either of them, the challenge that presents when they show up at the St. Matthias Court waiting for the $10 or $20 a week that the father's supposed to give them and the money in there. The challenge that is created when a judge has to issue a warrant to bring them to the court to be able to support the children that are brought into the world. So that is having a far more profound impact on children than the kind of stuff that you're talking about. You are talking about Elton John's two children who, in my opinion, have the greatest chance in life because both of their parents are millionaires and they are raising them in the best traditions possible. And you are concerned about them, and you ain't concerned about half of these children are knocking about Barbados who never see the father yet and even know who he is. Final word from you, sir, because we got to go to commercial.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Brassatz, 4341780. You can call us. You can also email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. I have an email here. Email is saying, Peter, I'm so tired of hearing these people regarding what children will call their parents on same-sex situations. This goes back to what the caller is talking about. Barbados really needs to start talking about all issues. Stop with this nonsense of trying to say you should discuss psychological impact of children on same-sex couples, yet ignoring other issues that children face from the same issues you mentioned. Abused children, children of divorce, children of neglect. I could go on and on. And you're so right, sir, that issues of neglect are continue to be a problem. We had a situation last week where a member, former member of the Royal Barbados Police Force was sentenced to, he wasn't sentenced, he was convicted of rape. And the scenario that is presented is one of certainly an extended family, one could say an extended family gone awry. That to me is the kind of problem that we need to be talking about and focusing on in society, not Elton John's two extremely happy, well-adjusted, wealthy children that certainly so many children would be glad to be in a situation to have all the opportunities that they have, the yacht, the plane, et cetera, et cetera. Anyhow, Don Brastak's, good morning. Good afternoon, Peter. Yeah. Yes.
Now, Peter, you know, say of David Ellis from the sword, my sword. Because I was wondering if David had you muzzled for the last couple of programs because he wasn't hearing you. So I was wondering if he was being...
But I'm not here. Huh? I'm not here. I'm not in the country.
Right, I know, but I missed it for a couple of programs, so I was wondering what the reason. I'm glad to hear you this afternoon.
Now, no, there are the, I guess the idea is to rotate the moderators as much as possible, so give everybody an opportunity to be heard, you know?
Well, you understand. Now, Peter, I must ask the discussion because you have two... quick points. One is a question and one is something I need to comment on that was discussed earlier this morning. Now, you have two callers with the same voice to this program?
Callers with the same what, sir?
The same voice?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Well, you had a caller earlier who spoke to you concerning buses and procurement. You can remember that caller?
I remember hearing about it, yeah.
Right, and then your last caller have the same identical voice as the same caller. And funny enough, they normally speak on the same topics. I mean, I heard these same topics spoke, but the same voice as previously. So that's all a coincidental or strange to me. Now, what I want to speak to you about, Peter, before I answer the question. Sorry. The Barbados Labour Party, do you remember the election in 1976?
76, yes.
With Tom Adams.
They won in 76.
Yeah, with Tom Adams. When Tom Adams won that
year. Right. It was Plenty Licks in 76, exactly, if you remember correctly.
Exactly, yeah. So, Peter.
Plenty Licks.
At that point in time, the Barbados Labour Party was on a high. And the Democrat Labour Party was on its lowest ebb, even when people was asking for a change when they said that Al Barr was tired. You can remember that?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, he probably was.
Right, exactly. Because so to say that Jack Odell only win because of personality and a hometown boy, I refute that sort of argument. Because I believe anyone else apart from Jack Odell had run for that St. George seat from the Barbados Labour Party, they also would have won that seat as well. So then because Jack Odell had a personality or he was a hometown person. Now, my question to you, Peter, I vow not to get involved in the St. George North by election. I do not plan to get involved like the other people here calling this program. I don't have a vote in St. George North, and I think it's the people at St. George North who have the decision to make. So all the crap trap I hear from the program concerning Tony Moore and the other candidate who can happen, I ain't no part of that. Not even get involved in that nonsense. The people in St. George North is who have those people's political future in their hands. Now, the only thing I will say on it, and it can be very short, is a question I want to ask you. With Glenn Clark canvassing in St. George North with doing the more. I wanted to answer this question for me. As I said, it was a question I wanted to know from you. Don't you believe that his personal votes can spill over to Tony Moore? That's a simple question I want to ask you.
His personal support, of course, yes. I think that even if he if Tony Moore takes half of his personal support, she's still winning seat. And I believe she will get more than half. Yeah.
But they simple question that they want to ask, because people talk about personal votes. Glenn Clark had all these personal votes because of his personality. So if he counts with Tony Moore, I personally believe that those same personal votes that Glenn Clark had, he could convince those same individuals, and those votes could spin over to Tony Moore. That's all he wants to put in George North by election, Peter. I thank you.
All right, sir. Somebody reminded me via the WhatsApp chat that there were no tricks in 76, but plenty licks in 76. And I think that that was the slogan. No tricks in 76 was the Dem slogan. And the BLP turned it around and said it's plenty licks in 76. So the question is, what will happen in 2003? WhatsApp message here, Peter. Your argument I completely disagree with. It can have a very negative effect with a father, as with a father who is not around. You do not know what is in the back of the minds of those children. Some of these children may have to go through a lot of pressure from other children, but I realize this is how society deals with certain issues. This is why I believe there's so much bitterness and anger in this country around young people. And let me just say, sir, that, you know, one of the challenges that children face is that children live what they learn. A child who goes to school with children that have family arrangements that are similar to the ones I saw at my primary school will accept that that is what happens in life. Children who go to one of the slightly more privileged primary schools where they deal with the typical, or what one would argue is the typical nuclear family, where they have a mother and father living together in a house, don't mind that either the mother or father horning one another from time to time, they will believe that that is the norm in the society. And in the same way that children that grow up in an environment with gay people around and are familiar with gay parenting, they relate to that reality. I live in a society now where that type of thing is quite normal, to the point where people even don't bat an eyelid. So I think that it's important that children grow up in an environment in which they learn not to judge. And that, to me, is the key thing. And while I'm on that matter of judging, I want to speak to a very controversial issue. And I would tell Dennis to keep his cutting finger ready in case he feels the need to take me off the air when I say this. But we have a situation where a public figure has been charged, apparently, with a drug charge. And this is very much in the public domain, and people are offering opinions on whether it's a good idea or not. I do accept that I live in a society where he will sadly be judged for that. What I would say, however, is that I think it is unfortunate that a person who is young, who is articulate, who is bright, would be judged for that. Because the position that I would have taken before regarding the nonsense of the illegality of ganja in certain quantities is a position that I would still want to hold true to. And I do believe that a society wastes time and energy going after individuals like that in terms of the legal process. The challenge, however, is that even after that legal process is finished, that individual will be stigmatized. And you could be looking at the end of what is a bright political career on the basis of nonsense. We had two presidents of the United States, Clinton and Obama. Both of them smoked ganja. Clinton said that he smoked it, but he didn't inhale. But then Clinton had a way of putting things, because he also did not sleep with a woman with whom he slept. Obama said he smoked ganja, and he inhaled, and he presumably enjoyed it. And then we had a president called George Bush, who had a drunk driving offense for which he was arrested. He nonetheless went on to become president of the United States. The challenge in all of these things is that I think that there's a proclivity on the part of society to judge people for mistakes that they make. And I will be the last person to say that a person who has a proclivity to smoke ganja is any worse or better than me, who may drink a drink from time to time. Because it's a question of, why should I moralize and say that my weakness is better than your weakness? Because a person wants to drink a glass of wine every night as the doctors would advise. What is wrong with that? So In relation to that individual, what I could say to him is that, you know, I certainly wish you all the best, as I would have before. I really do think that you have a contribution to make to this country, and I really do hope that this does not derail your efforts to proceed in the way that you have been proceeding. I certainly will not agree with everything that you say, and recently you've been saying a lot that I found disagreeable, but nonetheless, I do feel that you should have the right so to do. And I would encourage those of us in the society not to judge the individual harshly for having done something that everybody else has done, not everybody else, that several other people have done. About 30% of Barbadians, as I said from my data, have also engaged in what he appears to have been engaging in. And, you know, it is what it is. So I think the Attorney General needs to get cracking on this matter of the decriminalization or partial decriminalization or whatever it is he plans to do. I hear the Prime Minister needs to get cracking on this referendum, and let's try and vote in support of making this recreational thing possible, and let's bring an end to this nonsense. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
How are you doing? Good afternoon. Peter, I want to point to you on education. That's what I want to discuss. That's a topic in education in Barbados, but you know, it is tempting to look at some of the things you all were discussing. So if I'm not going to have time to look at the education, I will just forget what I have to say. But I would like to respond to a few points you made about the same-sex marriage we had with the discussion with the guy just now. And there's some things, unless you can enlighten me on that, to make me think differently. You were saying that instead of discussing same-sex marriage, you can go on to discuss the other issues in society dealing with children, like neglect and dementia and all the things like that. That's what you were saying, right? Now, I'm saying that you can discuss many things. A day got in 24 hours. Why can't we discuss the neglect, the dementia, along with same sex? And not one, because you were saying it needs to be one or the other. They've got so many topics over there to discuss. Leave out this one and let me deal with the other. So I am saying that I kind of disagree with that, because I try to go to school to study, to do math, English, Spanish, history, all of them in one day. So I don't see anything wrong with discussing all of them. The other point you were making is about children being happy in the company of two people, now, which is same sex. Now, because you say they are just.
Let me just say, sir, before you go any further, that I don't see any reason why we can't discuss that too, right? So I don't have a problem with discussing both of them. So I'm just saying that we can. I am just not convinced it is a social problem like you think it is. But anyhow, you continue.
Right. The matter of children adjusting and happy, because you might define happiness, as you say, as a jet and a car and different things. That's your definition, because you say that the guy's children, Elton John's children, got all these things, and they are very, very happy. But happiness is not always defined that way. So that may be an opinion. But regarding the adjustments, though, I've followed cases where ladies, women have been robbed, sorry, raped, and bound, and kidnapped, and things like that, and they go on to adjust and become comfortable in the environment. But it doesn't mean that it is the best thing for them. I had one man a few years ago who had kidnapped a girl or two and had children from them and all of that. And the girls adjusted. Had children from both of the sisters. The children adjusted. But you know what? And they would say they're happy. But you know what? When somebody discovered them and they came back into society, we know right away that things weren't as good as we think they were. In their environment, they seem happy. If you also look, as another point, black and white children tend to grow up very good and play very good, and they're happy. But at a certain age, they become conscious and begin to differentiate, and it's a different ball game altogether. I also want to make another point regarding the fatherlessness of children. Let me say that that's not something that is condoned. Society is complaining about it bitterly every day. They're complaining about single parents. So I'm saying that don't think that they are neglecting these things, because they're happening and it is on a white scale, because you say you was in a class and only you had a married parent. But nobody would condone single parent children today or any time. So I am saying that if you have a conviction that same sex is not right, I think you should express that conviction and stay to your point. Because you're also condemning promiscuity. Nobody, the man shouldn't have two women and things like that. That is condemned by the church. It is condemned by everybody too.
You it is?
Pardon me?
But they got how much pastors got two women?
But don't mind. Listen, that is still condemned. The pastor does not necessarily define the church, you know.
But sir, how you mean it's condemned it when it's do it?
I understand.
No, let's get real. Sir, let's get real. Let's get real. Okay. We live in a society where horniness, it happens. I mean, people have two and three partners. That's nothing new.
Peter, that's not the point I'm making, though. I'm making the point that, for example, I say and I condemn it. I'm not saying that I agree with it. But I can't do anything about it. If a man feel like being dishonest in his relationship, he's a married man, that doesn't mean it is right. It is being condemned. I never heard a church say
you never had more than one woman at a time.
What I did is not good. If I did it, I'm saying it's not good.
Look, sir,
I condemn it.
Sir, let me tell you a little story. Yeah. Years ago, I did a lecture for the National Organization of Women, in which I was talking about the impact of single parent families.
Right.
And I was basically speaking negatively about the impact of single-parent families and the fact that it puts a woman in a position of power where she is able to influence without the contribution of the father. I have a friend who is an anthropologist. She just died, Professor Sutton, who read the lecture. And right. She called me in a rage, complaining, and she says, "Why am I passing judgment on the single-parent family?" And I said, "Well, Professor, explain." Her point is that my situation is my situation. Their situation is their situation. They did not choose to be in that situation. I did not choose to be in my situation. Why should I pass judgment on their arrangement? The point that she was making is that there are several single parent households in which the mother performs all of those roles excellently and indeed better than in situations where they have both parents. The point that she was making, and it was something that has stuck with me all through my life. Sir, I have been fortunate to grow up in a situation where I've had both parents, right? I cannot say that I am any more fortunate than any of my good friends at the primary school that I went to who did not grow up in that environment, because the fact is that the child does not choose to be in that environment. What we as a society have to ensure that we do is that we lend support to a person's family regardless of how it is configured. Because the configuration of a person's family is not for us to decide whether it is good or bad, because that is a judgment. And that's all I'm trying to come through with, you know. Sir, look, if you have a problem with same-sex relations, I think that you're entitled to have that view. I would strongly encourage you, if you don't like same-sex relations, get involved with a partner of the opposite sex and you sort your business out from there, right?
Okay.
If you don't like it, don't do it. However, I think it is a problem where we have a society, and you talked about race, because we can go there as well. It is a problem where we have a society in which children don't grow up with the understanding that some people are black, some people are white, some people are Indian, some people are whatever. Some people have single parents, some people have two parents, some people have two fathers, some people have two mothers. Sir, it is called diversity. And I'm just saying that the moment that we start to say that one is good and one is bad, we are passing judgment. I am not about to judge a single parent mother, a single mother, and I'm not about to judge a child who grows up with same-sex parents and two mothers. Because it happens, and you deal with it as how you deal with all the other things.
Peter, I know you like the topic, but I want to get on to my real topic. Thanks.
All right, no problem. No problem.
My topic is this, right?
I thought that was your topic, but anyhow.
No, remember I told you my topic is education. I call the talk my topic on education. That's just an aside. The Ministry of Education seems to accept the British version of English that we use in speaking, or particularly within the exams. Both the CXC and the Ministry of Education, they accept the British system and the decimal system. Are you aware of that? Because you have the American English, right? And the way how you spell words. For example, C-E-N-T-E-R, C-E-N-T-R-E, and color and color. All of these different forms of the word or different spellings. There's the American version and there's the British version of English. Do you know which type that we use in Barbados?
Sir, my understanding of the thing, and I'm not an educator, my understanding of it is that you are not supposed to judge a child harshly for not being able to spell. So once you are able to recognize the word, whether it's spelled with an S or a Z, the child should not lose marks one way or the other. So words like color, they may have a U or may not have a U. There's some words that have S's and Z's. The teacher, certainly at the primary and the secondary level, is not supposed to judge a child because the child uses one versus the other. I don't know what the standard is, but I know that in maths, we are supposed to be metric. I don't know what the standard is otherwise, but I certainly would strongly, well, I believe that what happens is that the child is not judged whether they use American English or British English. When I was teaching at university, it didn't matter to me, okay, largely because I can't spell anyhow, so it wouldn't be a tight difference.
You would be surprised to know, right, that at CXC level, as well as in school, a child would be penalized if it spells color as C-O-L-O-U-R.
That is not, sir, that is not my understanding.
That happens,
sir,
that, I can tell you.
Sir, well, maybe I will have to stand corrected, but my understanding is that at the CXC level, once a child can communicate a word and you can recognize that the word is color, you're not supposed to assess that child negatively for spelling it the British American way or indeed spelling it incorrectly in the first place.
Peter, that's another point that you're introducing, but let me look at the point that you're introducing now. If you are testing English language, you have to write the English right. If you are addressing, say, a different subject area like wood, and the child write W-O-U-L-D for wood, you cannot penalize the child because you are not marking English. If you are marking mathematics and people misspell, you cannot mark them for the spelling because you are not marking spelling. You are marking mathematics. Is the equation evaluated correctly? That is what you're going to mark. And the child will get the full marks if the answer comes out right. So it won't be penalized. But I am saying that with regards to English now, when you're marking English, you will be marked wrong if you use the American spelling.
Yeah. And
this came for the ministry.
And I'm saying to you that, well, to start with, doesn't make any sense as debating this issue any further because my information, and I have had people responding to me via WhatsApp telling me that you are not supposed to penalize spelling at that level.
Okay.
So that is my understanding.
Okay.
If you are saying that you have different information, and I don't know, maybe one of the other moderators that is more familiar with the syllabus and the teaching and whatnot can come and correct me. But my understanding of it is that no CXC English teacher is supposed to be correcting spelling at that level. If they can recognize the word, the child gets the mark.
As I just point out to you, we don't know what it is. But listen, what about within the school setting now? Because I'm telling you about what happened up to yesterday, right? I'm bringing this topic because of what's happened to a child, right? And this is the reason why I'm not taking this out of the sky. This is happening to child, and I've had a little intervention at some point in time, and they were told emphatically yesterday they will be marked wrong, the spelling is wrong. And I say, look, I can carry this to the ear because I don't feel it is right. I don't feel that a child should get penalized for spelling color with a U when it is a correct form of spelling. But they're saying that this is for the ministry, so that's why they think. Now, my point is this, that we are independent country, and we have moved away from the British. Right now, we're abandoning the Governor General. So why should we be dependent upon the British form of English? We should be using multiple forms. In addition to that, we purchase equipment from all over the world. America, Europe, or England. All over the world. And our appliances come in all forms of metrics. So therefore, we should be able to use all form. In addition to that, our students that we are training going all over the world to work. So therefore, they should be allowed to use all forms of the language. And that's the point I just wanted to make. Good, thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you a lot for calling. We're going to have to take a break and come back. Remember, you only have 15 more minutes. Talking to Brass Stacks. I'm always fascinated when the talk of horning comes up and the number of people it brings out of the woodwork. So Maxine McLean has just messaged me. Peter, adultery is wrong. the fact that it is prevalent does not make it right for the practicing Christian who believes it is wrong. In a society where polygamy is practiced, then men have multiple wives. Where polyandry is practiced, a woman can have multiple husbands. Then that is fine. And I don't have a difficulty one way or the other, you know, Maxine. I think that is entirely reasonable. Then another lady says, Peter, do not give us single mothers a hard time. I have two children, different fathers. I've never harmed either of the gentlemen. The two children have grown up to be responsible, hardworking adults. They've so far graduated from three universities. I'm begging you, please, give me a break. Certainly, the tone of my conversation has been exactly that, ma'am. That I think that there are many hardworking single mothers that do a fantastic job of parenting without the intervention of a father. And that's exactly what I was trying to convey to the gentleman. So the horny thing was an aside, but the reality of it is that I think that there are many people who are just like yourself, who are essentially good parents, a good parent, and you do what you can, you raise your children, they become very well articulated adults, and they make a contribution to society. So that was essentially the tone of what I'm saying. It is what it is, and we should not try to make it any different. Right. Okay. Yeah. Another lady is saying to me that there was another caller who spoke about the child that has gay parents, and she's talking about a lady whose brother has six children and does not support any of them or recognize them. And she felt that the response I was making hit the nail on the head. So thank you again for the support in that regard. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm so glad to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the program.
Yes. I wonder why so many people are calling in about this same-sex thing when you are on. It is something...
but you're in Norway, it's obvious.
But I mean, no, but it's not something that you hate from anybody. Everybody knows who you are. If you do not like it, as you say, don't practice it.
Don't do it. Yeah, precisely. Don't do it.
Simple. So I don't see why people are calling in and, you know, they're repeating themselves. I mean, the DLP supporters were doing it. Up to now, they're still doing it. I don't know why. But they have things in their closet that are out in the open that, I mean, that they can think about instead of worrying about you, too. You know what I'm saying? Yes, and another thing I'm talking about, the gentleman who called in this morning, and, you know, he calls in every day and talking about... Glenn Clark, I say he's his friend. If I have a friend and he's talking about me like that, honestly, I don't want a friend. Because if you say I am your friend and you're still finding all kinds of things to say about me, if you don't like a party, you don't like the party. He said that he was a Glenn Clark and this. I have heard him say that. I mean, if I am your friend and I don't have anything good to say, that is me. I don't know about other people. If I don't have anything good to say, I say nothing. It seems to me as though you do not exist. So don't just come in every day and say this about the party. People are being critical of, you know, things that should not be critical of.
No, ma'am, I've grown accustomed to the nature of politics in Barbados, and this is what happens. I do hope that we can have an election in which we discuss fundamental issues, developmental issues, such as the type that were being discussed earlier in the program today. I look forward to the day that we can have that, but the reality is that that's not how our politics is yet. We are still at a level of political immaturity, out of which I hope that we will grow soon. So I get it, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm so glad to have you back on the show. That's why I listen to there. Usually, it gets kind of like semi every day. So sometimes I don't sound, but I'm so glad to have you back on, Peter.
And I'm glad. I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I'm glad to be here to shake up things. It's appreciated. All right, Mom. Thanks a lot for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I take objections. Pretty strong objection. Okay. You hear me?
I'm listening, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. To you being able to use the VOB platform, to push your agenda.
What is my What is my agenda?
Should I say homosexual agenda? Okay. I think VOB and the public, the religious public, should really be appalled. I mean, they're probably appalled, but they should voice their displeasure of you pushing, using this moderator situation, privilege, to try to do this to the public about it. If you want to be a homosexual, that's totally up to you, and you should do it. You know, you should not be given this public platform to do such. Okay, I have that. That's where my objection is. Okay.
If it is any consolation, sir, there are several people who are agreeing with you. They write it in the blogs, they write it online, they write it in the newspaper, and they're critical. They call the program and they say exactly what you have said. In the final analysis, I am not here to push any agenda. I am here to moderate a program. I was not employed on the basis that I was heterosexual. And I am happy that my association with the station has nothing to do with my sexuality. Because if it was, sir, you can listen to me now. If it was the case, it would be in breach of the Employment Act. And I am happy that I work for an organization that is decent enough to know that they cannot change, or they should not change, the terms and conditions of my employment based on my sexuality. I'm here as a political consultant or political scientist. And the vast majority of time, the issues that I discuss have nothing to do with sexuality. In addition to that, you have about seven moderators on this program, right? 4 days a week, you have straight people. Invariably, on the fifth day, which is the one day that you will have one of three or four other moderators, all of them are straight. To the best of my knowledge, the only person that is in there that is gay is me. So I really do feel that right now, VOB is pretty well balanced in that regard, because that, pretty much you're getting a diet, of straightness 99% of the time.
The religious community
has a problem. The religious community has a problem with me.
The religious community already protests.
That's good. But you know what, sir? In the final analysis, what I do. Thank goodness. What I would say to you is that what I do ain't got nothing to do with you, and I am happy that I live in a world in which you will never be able to have an impact on what I do, because it's my business. So you can abhor it. You're entitled to do that. And so what if you do? But ultimately, I don't really care what you do. You don't really care. You should not be caring what I do. And that's that. So there you go. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good for now. I want to say, you use spirit and contact.
I do, sir, yes.
You know, at the 30th of October, it is still the deadline for get back the returns for 2019?
I don't know anything about the deadline for returns, sir.
Okay.
I don't know anything about the deadlines. You are expecting a refund?
Yeah, but I understand that. The 30th of October was the deadline for getting returns.
Well, I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't aware that there was a deadline set for returns. I know there's a deadline set for submissions.
6 months from.
But I wasn't 30. Aware that there was a deadline set for returns.
Okay.
I wasn't aware. So. All right, down to brass tacks. Bear in mind that we have, 4 minutes remaining on the program, so we can take actually probably two calls if we can get them in quickly. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
Good. Hi, good afternoon. Welcome, ma'am.
How you doing?
I'm great. And yourself?
My God. I hope you enjoy yourself. Don't let the body get in a stress, right? The Bible says...
Why you stress out, ma'am?
The Bible says one thing, but let me tell you something. You know, the God some married man, right? They got the wives and they still got the male partners. So don't let the body confuse their head, right?
I'm not worried, yeah.
Anyhow, St. Paul said every man to his own. If a person wanted, but certainly that's their choice. When the dead judgment comes, they would know what God will happen to them. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I call to tell you, Peter, listen, my lips like peas in St. George. Lips like peas in St. George.
Lips for who?
I didn't know that we put it coming out the eggshell. I was sure. But let me tell you something. if everybody come out and vote, right, you can see a different type of statistic. So that's one you got to watch, right? Because now we got third parties. We got about two or three more coming through to cut some votes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much votes these third parties can get, but Beijing's in and putting a lot of votes in third party, because it is a straight match there between B and D.
Well, ma'am, it was a good point on which to end the program, because I, like you, believe that it's a straight match between the B and the D, and I think that everybody knows how I feel things are going to turn out. The reality is that if they don't turn out the way that I expect they're going to turn out, I'm going to have to eat some pig foot. So I really hope for my health's sake that they do turn out the way I expect them to turn out, and that Alvin will be going vegetarian for a while after November. This has been a great program. Thanks so much for calling and making the program what it was. I enjoyed interacting with you for the last 4 hours, and I think that we got a lot of business done. Not sure when I'll be with you again, but I look forward to the next encounter. And until then, as